Translation. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 10th chapter, describing the Lord's meeting the Vaishnavas upon his return to Jagannath Puri from South India. Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I was asked to substitute for His Holiness Kesha Maharaj as he couldn't make it. And as you can see, this verse does not have a purport. So these are the final few verses of the 10th chapter. So when the class was scheduled, I was told that Kesha Maharaj intended to just summarize the 10th chapter. And I will try and do the same, since that was instructed. This chapter is a chapter of union. It describes how the Vaishnavas united with Lord Chaitanya after an extended separation from him as he had traveled through South India. And there was a deep anticipation from all the Vaishnavas, when shall we see him again? And almost 2 years had passed. And those days there were no telegrams, there were no postal services. The only postal service was done by the spies of the kings. They were the only. But ordinary people had no postal services. You had to actually send someone that you know with messages. And since Mahaprabhu had gone around South India all by himself, along with his servant, Kala Krishna Das, there was very little information, so devotees were anxious. When is he going to return? And he finally returns to Puri, which is a festival for the devotees, great jubilation. I would like to summarize 12. So there are 12 important, there could be innumerable important instructions, but there are 12 instructions that struck me in this chapter, and I would summarize these. Right at the beginning, the very first verse of chapter 10, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he composes a verse. He says, Tam vande gaura jaladam swasya yo darshanamritai vichedavagraham lana bhakta shashyanya jivet. Tam vande gaura jaladam. He is comparing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a rain cloud. Now there might be a double meaning intended here, because in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is mention of Jalada Shyama Swarupam as a description for Krishna, the black or the dark rainwater bearing cloud. So here there is a double meaning intended when he says Gaura Jaladam. He who is Gaura, but he is also the rain cloud, dark. So he's Krishna himself. But apart from that, the analogy that he gives is very beautiful. He says, Swasya yo darshanamritai. The grains that are in the ground, in the scorching heat of the sun, they will die if there is no water. He compares Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's coming back to Jagannath Puri as the coming of the clouds which are going to shower the rain. And with the rain, the grains are going to get re-enlivened. And the grains are compared to Bhakta Shashyani Ajivayat. The grains are compared to the devotees. The devotees are dependent on the Lord and the Lord's mercy. So with this beautiful introduction, the chapter begins that Mahaprabhu, the rain cloud, has come back. And so all the grains which were otherwise being scorched in the heat of separation are now going to be enlivened again. And actually the same mood is carried by the gopis. This mood of separation and union in separation is the highest philosophical point made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we heard in Rai Ramananda Samvad, description of the higher and higher truths. The highest truth is love in separation, vipralamba. And sometimes that separation brings about greater sweetness than union. We find in 10th canto, chapter 19, verse 16, what was giving the highest bliss to the gopis? Gopinam paramananda asid govinda darshane. When Krishna would appear on the scene, actually it is described in various literature. Jiva Goswami, for example, mentions in Gopala Champu how the entire village at the time of return of Krishna from the pasture grounds, the entire village would just be fixated on the path that Krishna and Balram are going to come. Here it says, Gopinam paramananda, the highest bliss of the gopis was Asid Govinda Darshane. And then it says, Kshanam Yuga Shatam Iva. One moment of separation was like a yuga. Yasam Yena Vina Bhavat. Without seeing the Lord, every moment was like a long, many, many millennia. We hear also the same mood given in the Shikshashtakam. What is the verse? Yuga yatam nimeshena chakshushaha pravrashayitam. Yuga yatam nimeshena. One nimesha is like yugas. This is the separation. This is the love. The position that we all need to aspire to is to get to the point of developing love for the Lord. To become such lovers of the Lord that we feel unbearable separation from Him. That is the highest zenith of love. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam. Everything else you give is useless. Govinda virahena me. Mahaprabhu says, already, na janam, na dhanam, na sundarim, kavitam va, jagadisha kamaye. I don't want anything. I only want your love. Not only that, he says, everything else that is in this world is simply a zero. Shunyayitam jagat sarvam. This is the love. And the devotees of the Lord, they were feeling separation from the Lord. And this feeling is not just restricted to the Lord Himself. This feeling of separation is also extended to the devotees of the Lord who are very beloved to Him. When they leave us, either temporarily, or they leave us to go to another planet or to do greater service. I remember when His Holiness Kadam Kanan Maharaj left us, the mood was deep separation when His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj left us. And this morning we got the news that His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj has left this world. He left at 9 in the morning, 9:20 in the morning, India time. So, in leaving this world also, devotees teach us through their example what they have done and how to live. Gopal Krishna Maharaj was 80 years old. He was born in 1944, so he was about 80 years old. And he had three heart attacks and a kidney failure. This is external. This is external. For the devotee of the Lord Himself decides the coming and going. In any case, the reality is, somebody might think, oh well, why is a devotee suffering before leaving this world? That is simply external. When we are young, we may be strong, we may be attractive, we may look like a Greek god. One very nice devotee, I really have a lot of affection for him. He said, when I was young, I was like a Greek god. That stayed in my mind. Because as time passes, even the gods fall. But for a devotee, there is no death. So why a devotee suffers? Well, the reality is, if for anyone in this world, for each one of us, death is not only certain, but there is always going to be a reason why we die, isn't it? Somebody's not going to sit like this normally and just suddenly drop off. There'll be a reason for death, a heart attack, this, that, or the other. So everyone has a reason, some reason, on the medical death certificate, reason for death. Some reason has to be there. So for devotees also, Krishna makes up some reason. That should not be considered to be the real reason of the devotee's passing. Gopal Krishna Maharaj spent most of his life serving the Lord, serving Srila Prabhupada. He was only 25 years old. In May of 1968, he was studying, he had finished studying in McGill University in Canada. He studied his MBA. And after studying MBA, he was looking around. What is the purpose of life? He had received earlier a French government scholarship and pursued his bachelor's. And now he was in Canada. He was, he had a good job. He was a marketing research analyst at Pepsi. We all know Pepsi. So, young man with a bright future, young Indian intelligent man, he was going around and he ended up in the Montreal temple. He entered the temple and Mahapurush Prabhu, who was the temple president, he met him. And he asked Mahapurush Prabhu about the philosophy. And as soon as he saw Srila Prabhupada's painting, photograph, immediately he felt, this is my guru. And he asked Mahapurush Prabhu, what can I do to serve Srila Prabhupada? Can you imagine somebody entering the temple the first time and the very first question they ask is, how can I serve Srila Prabhupada? So certainly a soul that was already claimed by Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada. Of course, Mahapurush Prabhu then told him, Prabhupada's coming tomorrow, 1st of June, and he's going to be in Montreal for 3 months, so why don't you stay back? He immediately agreed. His name was Gopal Krishna, birth name. And he agreed, he stayed back, and the first assignment or the first service he had was cleaning the rooms of Srila Prabhupada. So he cleaned Prabhupada's room very meticulously. It's just coincidental, plainly, nothing more than that. That in my early years of Krishna consciousness, when I was in ISKCON Juhu, the first service in the Brahmachari ashram they gave me was to clean the rooms of sannyasis. Not sannyasis, and senior Vaishnavas. And the first room I cleaned was Gopal Krishna Maharaj's room. So, and then of course I've had many interactions in person with him in Juhu, when he was staying in Juhu. But anyway, 25-year-old Gopal Krishna met Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada immediately engaged him. In fact, in the 3 months that Prabhupada was there, Gopal Krishna Maharaj used to write long letters, and Prabhupada would read them and respond to them. Later on, of course, Prabhupada was traveling. So as he left Canada, he asked Gopal Krishna Maharaj to continue. In a year's time, when Gopal Krishna Maharaj was 26, Prabhupada gave him initiation. And in the initiation letter, he said, your name is Gopal Krishna. We do not need to change it. We will just add Das. So Gopal Krishna Das. And when Maharaj was 31 years old, he was made the GBC, and Prabhupada said, you come to, in 1975, he said, you come to come to India, and I want you to be in charge of book distribution in India. So Gopal Krishna Maharaj moved to India. He was a GBC of India for one full year while Prabhupada was there, and he was asked to promote the book distribution. So very dedicatedly, Maharaj worked in his early years and always. I remember cleaning in his room a beautiful photograph of Srila Prabhupada, which I once, you know, when you clean, you want to dust everything, clean properly. So you lift the, I lifted the photograph and I just, so where Maharaj sits, the photograph was facing him, but I just put it a little, I don't know, maybe just being not very conscious, I put the photo not right. So he asked one devotee, Jiva Goswami Prabhu, he said, who cleaned my room? So Jiva Goswami said, oh, there's a boy, Karthik, he's cleaned your room. So he called for me. And then he said, Prabhupada is my life and soul. I would like Prabhupada to always look at what I am doing. My every action is under Prabhupada's vision. I remember these words. And then very, very lovingly he said, please make sure that the frame is, you know, facing correctly. So of course he did many, many services. He rendered many services. He was in charge of Bombay, Hyderabad, Africa, Canada, opened so many temples. Even more recently in Bombay, in Khargar, he opened a temple. And all his life, he lived in an exemplary manner from early years. So, we see here in this verse that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he is saying how separation from the Lord, and for that matter from his devotees, is so painful. How do we know we love someone? To the degree we experience pain in their absence, to that degree we love that person. If we don't experience pain, we don't love. So, that's the first lesson. And then, of course, the chapter begins by saying how King Pratap Rudra is inquiring from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he's asking, I've heard that there is a Bengali saint living in your house. I would like to have an interview with him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, well, you can't have an interview with him because he's a sannyasi. He does not even give an interview to a king in his dreams. So you can't interview him. You can't meet him. Somehow you should make it happen, Pratap Rudra says. And Pratap Rudra says, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, but he's not here. He's gone to tour South India. He's anticipated to come any moment. When he comes, I shall try. Pratap Rudra says, well, why did he go to South India? Why would you leave Jagannath Puri, which is a dham, and go to South India? Why did he not stop him? And at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, great personalities are free to do what they want. You cannot check their movement. Moreover, he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 1:13:10. He says, the verse is spoken by Yudhishthir Maharaj to Vidura. When after the war of Kurukshetra, Vidura comes back, Yudhishthir Maharaj meets Vidura and he asks Vidura, where have you been? Tell me all the places you've visited. At that time he says, Bhavad Vidha Bhagavata. The Bhagavatas like you, the pure devotees like you, Tirthi Bhuta Swayam Vibho. You yourselves are Tirtha. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. You make a Tirtha a Tirtha. Tirtha means a holy place. Why is it a holy place? Because there is some sacred water. Because the Lord has done his pastimes there. Correct. That is correct. But the bigger, the more important thing is because the Tirthas, or the Tirthis rather, they visit the Tirtha, they make it a Tirtha. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabhrita. How do they make it Tirtha? Because within their hearts, Swantasthena, within their hearts is Gadabhrita, is the Supreme Lord Himself, the bearer of Gada. With his gada, he cleanses that place. In fact, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, giving his commentary on this verse, he says, there are many people who are now staying in the dham, Vrindavan, Mayapur, but they don't follow rules and regulations properly. They are apradhis. They do so much aparad to the dham. They are living in Vrindavan, but doing so many nonsense. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, to cleanse the dham of the nonsense of the dhamvasis, these non-following dhamvasis, the great saints have to visit the dham. Of course, in our own guru parampara, there's a beautiful pastime. There was a king in South India, his name was Krishnadevaraya. Has anyone heard of Krishnadevaraya? Krishnadevaraya was a great king, one of the last Hindu emperors in South India, who was a bastion of Vaishnavism. Krishnadevaraya, His guru was? Anyone knows? What is our guru parampara? Srila Prabhupada, of course, we have our own spiritual master. Then Srila Prabhupada, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaurakrishna Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Jagannath Das Babaji, then Baldev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but Baldev Vidyabhushan and Gaurakrishna Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji are God brothers in one sense. So from Jagannath Das Babaji, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vishwanath to Jiva Goswami, no. Narottam Das Thakur. From Narottam to Lokanath Goswami. Okay. There is another line which is also going to it's skipping my mind now. Coming from Vyas Tirtha, Lakshmi Tirtha, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwar Puri, Lord Chaitanya, Rupa, Jiva, Jiva to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to Narottam. This is also another lineage. One is Shiksha Guru, another is Diksha Guru. So in our Sampradaya, there is a both mix of Shiksha and Diksha. So in that lineage, Vyasa Tirtha is the Param Guru. So Mahaprabhu, Ishwar Puri, Madhavendra Puri, Lakshmipati Tirtha, then Vyas Tirtha, correct. So this Vyas Tirtha, he was the guru of Krishna Devaraya, the great emperor in South India. And the way he became guru is very interesting. This king had a very bad astrological conjunction called Kuhu Yoga. Kuhu Yoga means in the fourth house, if the lord of the fourth house or in the fourth house in your chart, if there are Papa Grahas, if there are sinful planets in your fourth house or afflicting the lord of your fourth house in astrology, then you will face so many problems in life. You'll never be happy. So the astrologers told him, Krishna Devaraya, you are suffering because of your astrological combination. So he said, what is the solution? So they said, the solution is you have to gift your kingdom away to a saint who can absorb this sinful reaction of past life. So he said, who is such a saint? So he asked his royal elephant to take a garland from the deity of Vishnu, Mahagarland, and said, whoever the Lord inspires this elephant to put the garland around his neck, that person I will consider as a saintly person. And Vyasa Tirtha was there, standing amongst many, many Brahmanas. And the elephant garlanded Vyasa Tirtha. And so Krishna Devaraya gave up his kingdom to Vyasa Tirtha. So from that day, he was known as Vyasa Raja. And this Vyasa Tirtha, while he was on the throne, once a snake somehow fell from somewhere to bite him, a venomous cobra. And immediately Vyasa Tirtha jumped up and put his upper garment on the cobra, and the cobra died. So this way, he saved the life of Krishnadevaraya, and Krishnadevaraya from that point onwards made him Rajaguru. So then Krishnadevaraya resumed the kingdom and he made Vyasa Tirtha the Rajaguru, the main priest of the king. Later on, again Krishnadevaraya was having some difficulty, and at that time he went to some sages and asked, some astrologers, and asked, why am I having difficulty again? I'm not able to win any wars. He said, that's because you don't visit any Tirtha. That is why you are not winning any wars. At that time, Krishnadeva Raya also quotes this verse. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. The only tirtha that I should visit is Vyasa Tirtha, who is the guru. And he washes the feet of Vyasa Tirtha. And washing his feet, he drinks the water of that feet. And then he wins all the consecutive wars. So, Mahaprabhu tells us that, rather Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is telling us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, and Sarvabhauma said, he left to make the holy places holy. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in his conversation, he refers to Mahaprabhu as Krishna. Now Pratap Rudra, of course in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, do you know who Pratap Rudra is? In his original Indradhumna Maharaj, another personality, he is Indra himself. And yes?
In Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are series when in the courtyard of Jagannath Mishra, Indra is present with Shiva, with Brahma and all the demigods. So I'm not sure. I don't know. How he can be like King Pratap Rudra when there's another series of pastimes when he was as Indra present in the courtyard of Jagannath Mishra.
Yes. So there's another literature by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Just like Gaur Ganodesh Deepika by Kavi Karnapur, this other literature is also describing, I think it's called Gaur Ganer Swarupa. I may not have got the name correct, but it's again a description of all the personalities. In that he says, Indradyumna Maharaj was also Indra originally. And Indradyumna is, and Indra both are in the personality of Maharaj Prataparudra, and his Rajaguru, his advisor guru, is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is Brihaspati. So that is the relation between Indradyumna and Brihaspati, correct? So here it says that, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, so the verse is, Raja kohe bhatta tumi vidnya shiromani tumi tara krishna koho tate shattamani. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya used to refer to Mahaprabhu in the conversation, he referred to Mahaprabhu as Krishna. This saint that you are referring to, whom you want to have interview with, King Pratap Rudra, he is actually Krishna. Now, King Pratap Rudra could have argued, what do you mean he is Krishna? How can he be Krishna? But instead, here it says, Tumi tare Krishna koho tate shattamani. I accept, since you refer to him as Krishna, I accept him as Krishna. So in the purport, Prabhupada gives a very nice understanding. He says, one must accept the words of an acharya, a bona fide spiritual master, to clear the path for spiritual advancement. This is the secret of success. One must accept the words of the spiritual master. Because of our conditioning, our ego, ahankar, and mental speculation, the habit of mental speculation, we do not accept the words of the spiritual master directly. Once Srila Prabhupada received a letter from a disciple saying, Prabhupada, we have decided to do the abhishek of the deity, the main deity, on the temple altar. We have decided to do the abhishek of the deity every Sunday. Because many, many Indians and other people come to see the abhishek. So we'll do the abhishek every Sunday. Prabhupada sent back a strong letter saying, do not manufacture new things. Do not manufacture. And he said, simply follow the process as given by me and the previous acharyas. And the devotee, he started just doing as Prabhupada had said, the aarti and everything. And actually the congregation went fourfold after that. So sometimes we think, oh, the guru is wrong. Acharya is wrong. If we think like that, at that very moment, we have checked our progress. Prabhupada says, to clear the path for spiritual advancement, one must accept the words of the Acharya. This is the secret of success. So, here, in that conversation, I'm going back to the conversation. Pratap Rudra is asked by Sarvabhauma, Mahaprabhu is coming. He doesn't have a place to stay. Can you please recommend where I can host him? And Pratap Rudra says, well, Kashi Mishra's house is very appropriate. It's big. It is very close to the temple. Because one of the requests of Sarvabhauma was that please give me a house which is close to the temple. So he says, Kashi Mishra's house is very close. So then, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya goes to Kashi Mishra. And he asks Kashi Mishra, if you've been to Jagannath Puri, Gambhira is in Kashi Mishra's house. So he asks Kashi Mishra, Mahaprabhu, we would like him to be hosted here at your house. Kashi Mishra replies, Madhya Leela 10:23. Kashi Mishra says, Kashi Mishra kohe, ami bodo bhaggaban, moro griha prabhu padeer, hobe abasthana. Ami bodo bhaggaban. I am really blessed. Prabhupadeer hobe abasthan. I am really blessed that Prabhupada is going to come and stay with me. Who is Prabhupada? We only know Srila Prabhupada. In that commentary, in that purport, Prabhupada writes very beautifully. He says, and actually this is the place in Chaitanya Charitamrita where the word Prabhupada comes. So he writes in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that Prabhupada, according to Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, means he who at whose feet many, many Prabhus take shelter. Then Prabhupada says, every devotee is Prabhu, but the Acharya is Prabhupada. Because all the Prabhus, they take shelter of the Pada of that Prabhu. So he is Prabhupada. In that purport he explains. And this word Prabhupada appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mora grahe, in my house, Prabhupadero hobe avasthan. In my house, Prabhupada will stay. Kashi Mishra is thinking. Here Prabhupada refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Prabhupada says in his purport that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Prabhupada. Nityananda is also Prabhupada. Advaita Acharya is also Prabhupada. And any representative of Vishnu who follows the instruction of the previous Acharyas, he is also Prabhupada. So as we know, in 1968, up until 1968, Srila Prabhupada was called as Swamiji by his disciples, early disciples. And there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Govindadasi, and Gaurasundar Prabhu, who was the husband of Govindadasi. So Prabhupada was in Boston. Gaurasundar Prabhu asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, can I address, just like we address you, Swami Ji, can I address my wife as Govinda Ji? Her name was Govindadasi. So Prabhupada said, no, Ji is useless. It's third class address. So then Gaurasundar Prabhu said, but Swamiji, we call you Swamiji. So he said, yes, that is third class address. So then why should we call you Swamiji? Prabhupada said, that's not important. Gaurasundar protested. Early disciples, they had very straightforward conversations with Prabhupada. So he said, no, Swamiji, it is important. What should we call you if not Swamiji? So Prabhupada said, you can call me Gurudev, Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, like that. At that time, Gaurasundar Prabhu, he asked, which one is the best among these three? And then Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada. And that is the moment from Boston that he started being called as Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada, here we see, Prabhupada means an acharya at whose feet all the other Prabhus sit. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met many, many devotees. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he sat to the right of Mahaprabhu, and all the devotees came to the left. You see, etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette, Vaishnava Sadachar is so important. When you sit to next to a guest, you sit to the right of the guest. He was sitting to the right, introducing all the devotees. One by one, he was introducing. And then after all of them had left, Bhavananda Rai, he came. Bhavananda Rai is the father of Ramananda Rai. And he came with his four sons. Ramananda Rai did not come because he was still in Vijayanagar. He was still in South India. He was going to come in about 7-8 days, give up his service and come and join Mahaprabhu. But he was not there. So Bhavananda came with his four sons. And Bhavananda said, I want to give away one son to you, Vaninath. Vaninath will become your servant from today. And Bhavananda was staying a little distant from Mahaprabhu. As you know, Mahaprabhu was born Mishra. He was a Brahmana by birth. And Bhavananda was Kayastha are sometimes considered to be Kshatriyas, sometimes they are considered to be Shudras. So here Bhavananda himself says, I am Shudra, I am the fourth class. Bhavananda, he says, I am the fourth class, and Rayakohe Ami Shudra Bishai Adhama Tabutumi Sparsha Ei Ishvara Lakshana. He says that although I am a Shudra, you came forward and you hugged me. How is this possible? I am almost untouchable, fourth class. But because you hugged me, I know that you are actually Ishvara, you are actually God. Because humans may discriminate between higher and lower caste. God does not discriminate. So he says, Tabu tumi sparsha ei Ishvara lakhana. So, our backgrounds are not barriers. And who was Bhavananda Rai? Of course, Gaur Ganodesh Deepika mentions him as Maharaj Pandu because he had five sons. Ramananda Rai is a little mystical because Ramananda Rai is referred to by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as Vishakha, by Kavikarnapur as Lalitha. Also, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur refers to him as Arjunika Gopi. Kavikarnapur refers to him as Arjuna, the archer Arjuna, also as Arjuna Gopa. So it seems he has a mix of five personalities, Ramananda Rai. So very unique personality. But Ramananda Rai's father is Bhavananda Rai. So he gives away. So there is no discrimination in terms of Mahaprabhu's mercy. We all have equal ability to receive Mahaprabhu's mercy. In fact, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he quotes this very famous verse from, and he quotes this, in fact, while I was cooking this morning, there was a class going on in the background and Prabhupada was speaking on the same verse. The verse is, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulkasha ఆభీర శుంభా యవనాఖ సాదయ ఏన్యే చ పాపా యదపాశ్రయాశ్రయ శుద్ధ్యంతి తస్మై ప్రభవిష్ణవే నమః. This is from 2nd canto, 4th chapter, verse 18. This verse, Prabhupada loves to quote this. And in fact, in the purport, Prabhupada has given who these different people are. So, Kirata. Kirata means the northeastern states in India, the tribal people. Huna. Huna means those who are Russians and Germanic. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Russians and Germanic people. In fact, Huns is a tribe, a Germanic tribe, Russian Germanic tribe, Slavic tribe. Some say the name of Hungary also came from Hun. So Prabhupada says Hunas are Russians and Germans. Kirata are the northeastern states, the tribal states of India. Pulinda is the Greeks. Pulkasha are the Africans. Abhiras are those who are from Central Asia, Sindh and other provinces. Shumbha are mixed race. Yavana are the Turkish people. And Khasadayaha, Khasas are those who have few hair on their body and who have a flat nose a little bit, and these kind of descriptions are given in Mahabharata, like the Mongols and the Chinese. So all these are mentioned, almost the whole world is mentioned there. Yenye cha papa. They are papa. Papa meaning sin. But here papa, in terms of a noun, it means they are prone to act sinfully. Yad apashraya shraya. As long as they take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord. Shudhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. They become purified. So, anyone, Prabhupada says, of any race, any background, Bhagavatam says, has equal opportunity to receive the mercy of the Lord. Does not matter where you come from, who you are, where you belong, from where you belong. And this was exemplified by Mahaprabhu's interaction with Bhavananda Rai. Bhavananda Rai was also a parent of Ramananda Rai, who was a great devotee. So actually when Mahaprabhu saw Bhavananda Rai, the first thing that Mahaprabhu told Bhavananda Rai was, Ramananda Henoratna Jaharo Tonoi. One whose son is someone like Ramananda. Tahara Mahima Loke Kohono Na Jai. There is no possibility of glorifying a person whose son is Ramananda. So the parent is being glorified, the father is being glorified, because he has a son like Ramananda. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada also says it in one place, that the parents of my disciples will realize their good fortune at the time of death. The parents of my disciples will realize their good fortune at the time of death. So we think that, we are devotees, our parents may or may not be devotees, or may be favorable but not practicing. So we think they are useless, lower. It's not true. Srila Prabhupada met in July 1975, he met Mr. and Mrs. Wax, W-A-X, Wax. Their son had given his life to Srila Prabhupada, dedicated brahmachari. And so the parents had come to meet Prabhupada. So there's actually an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Wax. And they're asking Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is saying, Although they are not following anything, right? They are Americans, ordinary Americans. But Prabhupada says in that discussion, he says, all the mothers of my disciple will attain salvation. And then the devotees are, he's continuing the discussion. Devotees are listening, and at some point one devotee thinks, what about the father? So he asks, what about the father? The Prabhupada immediately says, father also. Father also. And then Prabhupada says, because my disciples are Vaishnavas, and no matter how renounced you become, you can never stop thinking about your family members, your parents. Even if you are most renounced. Shankaracharya, so renounced. When he received the news his mother is about to pass away, he ran with the speed of wind from North India to Kerala, where his mother was to pass away. And yet, by the time he reached, his mother passed away, he was devastated. Absolutely devastated. And he wrote Matrika Panchakam, beautiful prayers. Anyway, I'm digressing. So, even Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu is in one of the verses referred to as Matru Bhakta, a mother's devotee. So, parents are very dear to the children. So, Prabhupada says, because my disciples are Vaishnavas, and somehow or the other, they will remember their parents. Their parents will automatically be purified. And then there is a nice discussion. Even if they are meat eaters, this, that, Prabhupada said, yes, yes, they will attain salvation. So such is the glory. So here, this is the reference. When Bhavananda Rai was embraced by Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu said, you are Bhavananda Rai. How can I even glorify you? There is no words to glorify you. Why? Because you have a son like Ramananda Rai. So, son is the father of man. So the son is now being glorified. So we hear this. Then we saw how Mahaprabhu did not discriminate. And we all have. In fact, there is a similar episode. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya later on, when he is introducing different personalities, after he is done with that, Govinda and Kashishwara, they both come. Who is Govinda and Kashishwara? Govinda and Kashishwara both are disciples of Ishwarpuri. And they are both Bangura and Brungara in Krishna Leela. Bangura and Brungara are Krishna's personal servants in Mother Yashoda's house. One wakes up Krishna, another brushes Krishna, and as soon as Krishna comes playing from the mud, they give him bath. So, you know, they are personal servants. So, one is Kashishwar, another is Govinda. They were both disciples of Ishwarpuri. But they came to meet Mahaprabhu. At that time, Govinda is actually also Shudra. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is a great Brahmana, his name is Purushottama Sarvabhauma. He's won over all the philosophers. In fact, you remember I mentioned Vyasatirtha. There is a pastime which is accepted in the Madhava Sampradaya by some, that Vyasatirtha used to argue with, well, actually the other way around, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya used to argue with Vyasatirtha. Vyasatirtha's disciple Lakshmipati Tirtha, his disciple Madhavendra Puri, his disciple is Ishwarpuri. But, you know, Vyasatirtha and Sarvabhauma are contemporaries. Sarvabhauma would argue with Vyasatirtha. And Vyasatirtha would reply back with his arguments in letters. Until one day, Vyasatirtha had a dream that this Sarvabhauma will get direct mercy of Krishna. Krishna will appear and give him direct mercy. From that day, Vyasatirtha stopped arguing with Sarvabhauma. So I'm just connecting. So Sarvabhauma was a great Tarkika. Tarkika means one who has studied Nyaya philosophy. Of course, Mahaprabhu himself was a Tarkika. He studied Navya Nyaya in Navadvip. Navadvip was the bastion, the main place for Navya Nyaya. University town, like Cambridge, Oxford. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, using his logic, he said, this Govinda has come to serve you because Ishwarpuri has asked him to serve you. And Kashishwara is also coming. But Govinda is a Shudra. How did Ishwarpuri accept a Shudra as his personal servant? That is the question that he is asking. He is saying, how did he accept? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies, Prabhu ko hai Ishwara hoya parama shatantra. The Lord and his pure devotees are parama shatantra. They are completely not bound by any such external laws. Because some people will quote Dharma Shastra, some will quote this smriti, that smriti. Yeah. But Vaishnavachar is above. Of course, if you are a smartha brahmana, you have to follow so many rules, regulations. Smartha vidhi. But otherwise, Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu ko hai Ishwara hoya parama shatantra. Ishwarera kripa nahi beda paratantra. Nahi beda paratantra. It's outside the Vedas. The Lord and his devotees, their purview is beyond the Vedas. Beda paratantra. Nahi beda paratantra. They are not bound by the rules and regulation of the Vedas. Mahaprabhu directly says to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So, also we find in our movement now there is a lot of promotion of so many different pujas, yajnas. It's good. But one must remember the real yajna for this age is Harinam Sankirtan. And that is also mentioned in Bhagavatam many places. I will digress if I go into that. But after this, another verse Mahaprabhu says, in that he says, Vidura was a Shudra, but he was most dear to Krishna. So, being a Shudra is not a disqualification. In fact, on the path of bhakti, there is no disqualification. It is the most optimistic path. Yeah. What is the nature of bhakti? Rupa Goswami's definition of bhakti? Pure devotional service? Huh? Okay. Then Samanya Bhakti's definition in the Eastern Wave? What is it? How can I forget this? Apratihata Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma. No, this is which is the verse which says Oh yeah, that is in Bhagavatam, sorry. Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Jato Bhaktir Adokshaje. Bhakti is apratihata. Apratihata means it cannot be checked. There is nothing, not your birth, not your education. In fact, Kunti Maharani simply says this. What will make us proud? What makes us proud? Janma. If you are born in some Brahmin family, some Vaishnava family, some good lineage, immediately proud. If you are born in America, in a rich family, noble family, you're proud. Janma, Aishwarya. If you have some money, some opulence. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta. If you are learned, if you know very nice singing, Karnatakic music, if you kirtan, nice music, nice dance, or if you know some Sanskrit, you know some Bengali, some kind of knowledge you have, you've read many Puranas, many Upanishads, many Vedas, immediately proud. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta and Shri. If you look very attractive, beautiful, handsome, Kunti Maharani says, Edamana Madhapuman. Then you simply become proud. Edamana, it increases your pride. All of these are disqualification. And they increase your pride to the degree that you cannot call out. Prabhupada in the translation says, you cannot call out Krishna feelingly. This is the only place Prabhupada uses this word. To call out Krishna feelingly. You know, genuinely. Because your pride will curtail your genuine feelings. So, here, the next episode is given how Mahaprabhu then admonishes Kala Krishna Das in this chapter. We know that in South India, Kala Krishna Das, he falls prey to Bhattatiris. Bhattatiris are a sect. Actually, they are Vaishnavas, but they are part of Nambudri, Brahmana subclass. But they are traveling Bhattatiris. And their women are very beautiful, Prabhupada says. And so this Kala Krishna Das fell prey to the Bhattatiri women. And Mahaprabhu had to literally go fight with those people with weapons. They had weapons. Mahaprabhu, somehow, I don't know. There's no description. I'm just wondering how Mahaprabhu with only his Kamandalu. Of course, he's Krishna. But still, I don't know how. Somehow, Mahaprabhu snatched him by the hair from the house of the Bhattatiris. And they all protested with weapons. And Mahaprabhu somehow snatched him and brought him out. And then reaching Jagannath, up to Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu kept companionship with Kala Krishna Das. In Jagannath Puri, he speaks to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He says, and now that I am here, this Kala Krishna Das, who has digressed, I give him up. I do not want to be with him. I do not want to see him ever again. Kala Krishna Das, of course, he is feeling very morose. But he accepts whatever Mahaprabhu has ordered and he leaves. But there is one lesson here. See, Mahaprabhu could have left Kala Krishna Das with the Bhattatiris itself because he fell down. Correct? Mahaprabhu could have left. But Mahaprabhu did not do that. He did not leave. He made sure Kala Krishna Das was pulled out of that and brought back to Jagannath Puri in the association of devotees. So, this is how Krishna acts. If one has ever surrendered to Krishna genuinely, ever, even if we digress, we go astray, Krishna will make sure somehow devotees will connect with that person again. And there are so many examples. In fact, after Srila Prabhupada's leaving, between 1977 and 1987, or I would even say 1992, ISKCON went through a very tumultuous period. So many Prabhupada disciples left. So many disciples were driven away by their own godbrothers. And it was not a nice patch of history. Some left voluntarily, but so many of them have returned. So many of them have returned. Because Krishna, if you have served Krishna or his pure devotee ever in your life, Krishna will make sure even if you go astray, you will come back to his shelter. There is a nice episode in Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. He was opening a temple in Bengal. And there was one particular brahmachari who did a lot of work with the deities to establish the deities. But then there was a woman in the congregation who he fell in love with, and he, you know, it was exposed. He was exposed. It was no longer secret. Such matters don't remain secret for a long time. So since he was exposed, his godbrother started admonishing, criticizing and chastising him, and practically drove him away. So this brahmachari left. And by that time, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur came to open the temple. And the first question he asked is, where is this brahmachari? So they said, oh, Guru Maharaj, he fell in love with some lady and, you know, we chastised him. So he ran away. Siddhant Saraswati Thakur said, I will not open this temple until you all go out and find him. Somehow you go out and find him. So they all went out, and Madhav Maharaj, who was then Hayagriva Brahmachari, this is from Gaudiya Math, he found this brahmachari. This brahmachari was working in a watchmaker's shop, and he was not happy, but he did not come because he did not know how to show his face. He was humiliated. And later on, he was brought. And when he was brought back, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur was extremely pleased. And then he opened the temple. So even a servant who has strayed, if the Lord does not do away with him completely, if the Lord still keeps him in the association of devotees, we as Vaishnavas should not be hard-hearted. I remember I was speaking to His Holiness Kadam Kanan Maharaj about one particular issue with a sannyasi, and the GBC were doing some investigation on that sannyasi, and there were some evidences which were quite clear about some misconduct. And somehow Kadam Kanan Maharaj and I, we were discussing that. Anyway, it's a long topic, but we came to that point. And I knew that some strong action will be taken and something will be done. So I asked Maharaj. And Kadam Kanan Maharaj said just very few words. He said, yeah, it's unfortunate that this is happening. However, I hope that they will be kind towards him. I mean, that struck me so deeply. There are so many devotees we know. They come, they go, they come again, they go again. There was one Prabhupada disciple. He was a sannyasi. I know his name, I don't want to say the name, but he left. And then he came back to Prabhupada with a wife. And all the godbrothers, they were like, this is not right. But Prabhupada allowed him. Prabhupada was not the one to drive anyone away. Mahaprabhu did not drive away Kalakrishna Das. He gave him a chance. Everyone deserves a chance. We may know so many devotees in our congregation, our lives, who may be appearing, disappearing, appearing, disappearing. It doesn't matter. We give them a chance. We need to be kind. So, a few more points and I'll stop. Another point is, after this, Kalakrishna Das was banished by Mahaprabhu. He said, I don't want to see his face. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit, Mukunda, and Damodar, they all thought, well, let us engage Kalakrishna Das as a messenger to send message to Sachimata and Advaita Acharya in Bengal that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned to Puri. Let us engage him as messenger. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that, actually, look at this. Mahaprabhu, Krishna rejected that person, apparently. He brought him to the association of devotees and he rejected him. And yet, the devotees of the Lord are showing him mercy. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. And we have Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan, Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paiche Keva. If you leave Vaishnava Seva, if you leave deity worship, no problem. Leave chanting your rounds, no problem. No, I'm not promoting that. Please don't do that. But leave chanting rounds, not follow any regulatory principles, everything, all nonsense. But somehow, you keep one Vaishnava devotee as your genuine friend. Who's genuine friend? He can speak openly to you, you speak openly to him. You don't make a show of who you are. Be honest, truthful. One thing that devotees lack is honesty. Most devotees, we have to work on honesty, being honest. Simple. Simplicity, Saralta, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the first qualification of being a devotee. And Saralta is developed when one is honest and truthful. So, next, Mahaprabhu then engages Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar is a great personality. In this chapter it is mentioned Swarup Damodar is both a great singer and he is also a great Siddhanti. He understands the Siddhanta. So, Mahaprabhu engages Swarup Damodar to become the checkpoint. Checkpoint for what? Checkpoint for checking every verse, everything that approaches Mahaprabhu has to be validated by Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar at that time would reject anything and everything and anyone and everyone who would approach Mahaprabhu with either apasiddhanta or rasabhas. So here it is mentioned by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Ara Rasabhas Shunite Na Hoya Prabhur Chittera Ullas. There are two things in our life that we should avoid. You know, sometimes we see Christians. There is a friend of mine, I was visiting him in America, and he's a work colleague. And in his car, on his hand, he has a tattoo. Everywhere he's written, "What would Jesus do?" So he has put it everywhere. So he's constantly reminded how Jesus would act. So here, in this verse, it is said, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha and Rasabhas. These two, if we are mindful of, we will always be acting in the right mood, in the right path. What is Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha? That which is against the principles of Bhakti. And what is Rasabhas? Prabhupada gives nice example of Rasabhas. Prabhupada says, Daridra Narayan is Rasabhas. How can Narayan be Daridra? Daridra means beggar. Narayan means Supreme Lord. So, M.K. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, as he is famously known, he said that Jana Seva is Janardhan Seva. You serve the people, it is serving Janardhan, Krishna. And he said, because all the poor people, they are Daridra Narayan. The poor people are also Narayan, but they are Daridra Narayan. They are poverty struck Narayan. So Prabhupada says, this is Rasabhas. You can't have a poetry struck Narayan. Narayan cannot be poetry struck. So one has to be, and Prabhupada in fact says, in this way the devotee can remain pure and free from fall downs. These two things, Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha. If you're doing things which are against Bhakti's Siddhanta, We have an episode where Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, when he was in Bangladesh trying to preach near Sylhet, nobody would come to listen to the katha. So he asked the disciples, what's going on? Why nobody is coming? They said, nobody is coming because this is a fisherman's village. And the fishermen are going out to sea for fishing. So they are not, you know, available at this time. So Siddhant Saraswati Thakur apparently said, go and announce in the village that anyone who sits through the whole katha will be sumptuously fed fish and rice. And all the devotees were wondering how this is possible. So, Sridhar Dev Goswami, Bhakti Rashak Sridhar Dev Goswami, one of Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada meaning Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's disciple, he asked Prabhupada. Actually, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, he personally served fish and rice to these people, village people, because they came and heard Bhagavatam. And from that village, almost 20 people became devotees, Gaudiya Vaishnava. Prabhupada said it was worth it. Siddhant Saraswati Thakur said it was worth it. Because what is Bhakti Siddhanta? Siddhanta is to Jara Dekho Tarakoho Krishna Updesh. To make them devotees is the Siddhanta. And if that means in that process, if I have to accept some sinful reaction, I am ready to do that. Srila Prabhupada also said, if you are out on book distribution, and if it is a Nirjala Ekadashi day or something like that, no problem, have fruits. Because preaching is the essence. Where do we get this preaching is the essence from? From the instruction of Mahaprabhu. So, last time I covered this point about ulterior motives. So, I don't want to cover that. This is Brahmananda Bharati wearing the deer skin because he wants to be recognized amongst everyone as the most renounced. This disease of recognition, Siddhant Saraswati Thakur said, is like Shukarera Bhishta, the stool of a hog. How many of us find it fascinating to keep around us the stool of a hog? No one. But that's what pratishtha, recognition, is compared to by Siddhant Saraswati Thakur. And finally, the verse which we read, which ends, Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Jara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Raghunath Das Goswami was the guru of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In fact, Prabhupada says that both Rupa and Raghunath were guru. One was Shiksha Guru, another was Diksha Guru. So every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita ends with Rupa Raghunatha Pade. By following the footsteps of Rupa and Raghunath, one cannot succeed in spiritual life without sincerely and seriously following the words of the spiritual master and the Acharya. So that is what is exemplified by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his final verse. So this is a quick synopsis of some learnings from this chapter. Of course, there are many more wonderful aspects that we could talk about. But thank you for sitting patiently and listening. Any questions, comments? Yes, bro.
Thank you so much for summarizing the chapter so well with many examples. that helped me to understand. You kindly mentioned about Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada word especially. I like this Srila Prabhupada Pranati mantra because it contains Lord Vishnu's name, Lord Krishna's name, and Lord Gauranga's name, as well as Namaste Saraswati Devi, Guru Parampara as well, in one mantra. It is so beautiful. In my mind, question came, how did this mantra came into existence? It's so wonderful. Do you have
how any was info? The mantra, how did the mantra come into existence?
Yes, please.
So, the first part of the mantra was a standard mantra that was sung by the Gaudiya Math, where Siddhanta Saraswati iti namine was used for Siddhanta Sri Thakur. The second part of the mantra was composed by Pradyumna Das Adhikari, who was a Sanskrit editor of Srila Prabhupada. And it was shown to Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada approved it. He in fact corrected it also. He said Saraswate Deve. He corrected that, edited that, and Prabhupada blessed that this mantra be sung.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Is that correct, Yadubar Prabhu? Pradyumna Prabhu? I heard this from Pradyumna Prabhu himself. Okay. There's a letter where Prabhupada is responding to Pradyumna Prabhu with the corrections. Yadubar Prabhu?
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the wonderful class.